Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, July 23rd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening, better than 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topics. You'll definitely find stuff over there that you want to listen to. We're going to go ahead and jump in. Don't forget, because I got to go ahead and get ready for church and for the viewing this evening of the Essential Church, which we're one of the early viewing locations. So if you're in the area of Vail, Arizona, please come join us. You can find us at vvb.church. You can click on the pamphlet, the flyer that is on the front page and reserve seats. And that you can also find the directions to our church there. So let's go ahead and get open up. We're going to open up with the Lord's Day morning prayer. Let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine, they are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength. The day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word. For I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid. But encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace, let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right, in our morning devotion for July 23rd from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, the text for it is from Obadiah 1:11. Even thou wast as one of them. Brotherly kindness was due from Edom to Israel in the time of need. But instead thereof, the men of Esau made common cause with Israel's foes. Special stress in the sentence before us is laid upon the word thou, as when Caesar cried to Brutus, "And thou, Brutus?" A bad action may be all the worse because of the person who has committed it. When we sin, who are the chosen favorites of, when we sin, who are the chosen favorites of heaven, we sin with an emphasis. Ours is a crying offense, because we are so peculiarly indulged. If an angel should lay his hand upon us when we are doing evil, he need not use any other rebuke than the question, "What thou? What dost thou here?" Much forgiven, much delivered, much instructed, much enriched, much blessed, shall we dare to put forth our hand unto evil? God forbid. A few minutes of confession may be beneficial to thee, gentle reader. This morning, hast thou never been as the wicked? At an evening party, certain men laughed at uncleanness, and the joke was not altogether offensive to thine ear. Even thou wast as one of them. When hard things were spoken concerning the ways of God, thou wast bashfully silent, and so, to onlookers, thou wast as one of them. When worldlings were bartering in the market and driving hard bargains, wast thou not as one of them? When they were pursuing vanity with a hunter's foot, wert thou not as greedy for gain as they were? Could any difference be discerned between thee and them? Is there any difference here? Is there any difference? Here we come to close quarters. Be honest with thine own soul, and make sure that thou art a new creature in Christ Jesus. But when this is sure, walk jealously, lest any should again be able to say, even thou wast as one of them. Thou wouldst not desire to share their eternal doom. Why then be like them here? Come not thou into their secret, lest thou come into their ruin. Side with the afflicted people of God, and not with the world. All right. So for our reading today, we're going to do 2 Chronicles 8, verse 11 through 2 Chronicles 10, verse 19. We're going to do Romans 8, verses 9 through 25, Psalm 18, verses 16 through 36, Proverbs 19, verse 26. So let me grab some coffee here. By the way, I'm trying a new one this morning. It is the Black Rifle, but it's Blackbeard's Delight, which I've heard about, but I hadn't tried before, so I got some the other day. All right. 2 Chronicles 8, verse 11. Oh, and by the way, I like it. It's good. All right, 2 Chronicles 8, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Solomon brought Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the house which he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not live in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy where the ark of Yahweh has entered. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to Yahweh on the altar of Yahweh, which he had built before the porch, and did so according to the daily rule, offering them up according to the commandment of Moses, for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. And according to the judgment of his father David, he caused the divisions of the priests to stand for their service, and the Levites for their responsibilities, to praise and minister before the priests according to the daily rule, and the gatekeepers by their divisions at every gate, for David the man of God had so commanded. And they did not turn away from the commandment of the king to the priests and Levites in any manner or concerning the treasuries. Thus all the work of Solomon was carried out from the day of the foundation of the house of Yahweh, and until it was completed, so the house of Yahweh was finished. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Geber, and to Eloth on the shore of the sea, in the land of Edom. And Huram, by the hand of his servants, sent him ships and servants who knew the sea. And they went with Solomon's servants to Ophir, and took from there 450 talents of gold, and brought them to King Solomon. 2 Chronicles 9. Now the queen of Sheba heard the report about Solomon, so she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with rentals. She had a very glorious retinue, with camels carrying spices and a large amount of gold and precious stones. And she came to Solomon and spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon declared to her the answer to all her matters, and not a matter was hidden from Solomon which he did not declare to her. Then the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the disposition of his attendants, and their attire, his cupbearers and their attire, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of Yahweh, so that there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "The word is true which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe their words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not declared to me. You exceed the report which I heard. How blessed are your men! How blessed are these your servants, who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be Yahweh your God, who delighted in you, to set you on his throne as king for Yahweh your God. Because your God loved Israel, to cause them to stand forever, therefore, he gave you as king over them, to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. There had never been spice like that which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the servants of Huram and the servants of Solomon, who brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees steps for the house of Yahweh, and for the king's house, and lyres and harps for the singers, and none like that was seen before in the land of Judah. Thus King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she asked, besides a return for what she had brought to the king. Then she turned around and went to her own land together with her servants. Now the weight of gold which came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, besides that which the traders and merchants brought. And all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, using 600 shekels of beaten gold on each large shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, using 300 shekels of gold on each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne, and a footstool in gold attached to the throne, and arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. 12 lions were also standing there on the 6 steps on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. Now all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. Silver was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had ships which went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came carrying gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, and mules, a set amount year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in the chariot cities, and with the king in Jerusalem. And he was the ruler over all the kings from the river even to the land of the Philistines, and to the border of Egypt. The king also made silver as plentiful as stones in Jerusalem, and he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the Shephelah. And they were importing horses for Solomon from Egypt and from all countries. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, from first to last, are they not written in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Thus Solomon reigned 40 years in Jerusalem over all Israel. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of his father David. And his son Rehoboam became king in his place. 2 Chronicles 10, we're going to read through to verse 19. Then Rehoboam went to Shishim, for all Israel had come to Shishim to make him king. And it happened when Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent and called for him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke harsh, but now lighten the harsh service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Return to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders who had stood before his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you counsel me to respond to this people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had counseled him, and took counsel with the young men who grew up with him and stood before him. So he said to them, "What counsel do you give that we may respond to this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us. Then the young men who grew up with him spoke with him, saying, "Thus you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for us." Thus you shall say to them, "My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. So now my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the 3rd day, as the king had spoken, saying, "Return to me on the 3rd day. And the king answered them harshly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders. And he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from God, that Yahweh might establish his word, which he spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them. So the people responded to the king, saying, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, Israel. Now see to your own house, David." So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was over the forced labor, and the sons of Israel stoned him, and he died. And King Rehoboam made haste to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. All right, need some coffee. Romans 8, verses 9 through 25. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. All right, Psalm 18, verse 16 through 36. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but Yahweh was my support. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands before his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless. With the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute. For you save an afflicted people, but eyes which are lifted up you bring down. For you light my lamp, Yahweh my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless, the word of Yahweh is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but Yahweh? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my ankles have not given way. Sorry, I need some coffee here, as you can tell. Better. Proverbs 19, verse 26. He who assaults his father and causes his mother to flee is a son who brings shame and humiliation. All right, well, that is our reading for this Sunday, July 23rd. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion. The evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for July 23rd. The text for it is 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth, says the text, not shall cleanse. There are multitudes who think that as a dying hope they may look forward to pardon. Oh, how infinitely better to have cleansing now than to depend on the bare possibility of forgiveness when I come to die. Some imagine that a sense of pardon is an attainment fully obtainable after many years of Christian experience. But forgiveness of sin is a present thing, a privilege for this day, a joy for this very hour. The moment a sinner trusts Jesus, he is fully forgiven. The text, being written in the present tense, also indicates continuance. It was cleanseth yesterday, it is cleanseth today, it will be cleanseth tomorrow. It will be always so with you. Christian, until you cross the river, every hour you may come to this fountain, for it cleanseth still. Notice, likewise, the completeness of the cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not only from sin, but from all sin. Reader, I cannot tell you the exceeding sweetness of this word, but I pray God the Holy Ghost to give you a taste of it. Manifold are our sins against God. Whether the bill be little or great, the same receipt can discharge one as the other. The blood of Jesus Christ is as blessed and divine a payment for the transgressions of blaspheming Peter as for the shortcomings of loving John. Our iniquity is gone, all gone at once, and all gone forever. Blessed completeness, what a sweet theme to dwell upon as one gives himself to sleep. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as in the sea, from them all he cleanseth me. All right, well, that is our podcast for the day, for the episode for today. Again, I hope you've had a good weekend. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. If you have not worshiped with the saints yet this weekend, go do so. Change your plans, get up, get showered, get ready, and head out and go worship with the saints. And I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. We're going to close with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayer show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit, give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the myths of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindness, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. Well, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I hope that either you have or you will worship with the saints. And I pray that we'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.